Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
In 1990, Vanilla Ice was on top of the world thanks to the phenomenon that was Ice Ice Baby. But by 1991, he was an over-commercialized laughingstock. This week, we're joined by my Another Cheetah bandmate, Matt Jurcevich, to analyze the questionable lyrics of a song that so many of us know every word to, and try to figure out how Rob Van Winkle went from hero to zero so quickly.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bullseye, the kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed. And you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder?
So, Jurce, let me ask you a question. If you broke your ankle in a motocross race, what is the first thing you would do?
Rap.
Wrong. You would take up dancing and beatboxing, which is what Vanilla Ice did, which I thought was really funny. Like, broke my ankle, I'm going to take up dancing.
But wait a minute. That's the worst idea ever.
Yes, that's completely the opposite.
Like, which, break dancing. Yeah.
I guess.
Spinning around and stuff. Yeah.
I guess that's what you could say Vanilla Ice does. And did you watch the music video recently?
Yes.
To Ice Ice Baby.
Uh-huh.
Is he a good dancer? Because it seems to me like someone doing an impression of someone doing a Vanilla Ice dance.
It's very calisthenic-based dancing, yeah. I guess. I found it to be entertaining when I was nine. Like,
yeah.
the spinning around and the cabbage patch and stuff. So I'm going to say yes. I mean, I find it humorously entertaining right now to watch it. So I wouldn't say it's...
Well, let's not beat around
exactly
the bush.
Bad.
I definitely loved this when I was 9 or 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually the first compact disc I ever owned because it was Christmas Eve and I got a present from my aunt. And this was at the time where CDs were still in the long boxes. Do you remember the long boxes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got a long boxed shaped present, opened it up, and it was the Vanilla Ice CD. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then I knew what my gift for Christmas morning was going to be, was
a CD player.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I got the Vanilla Ice CD before I even had a CD player.
Oh.
And I loved it, no yeah. doubt. But I wonder if we were just right in that sweet spot of age. Like, if I would have been 14, would I have been like, this is the worst thing I've ever heard? Or would I have dug it?
I don't know. It's hard, man. I'm trying to think about why this song ruled my life for a year and a half. Like, I would sit there and on the radio and just turn the dial back and forth before I got the cassette.
Mm-hmm.
But you got the CD, so you were cooler than me.
Yeah.
And tried to catch it on the radio station for hours and hours one night and tape it on a cassette on my boombox.
Right.
But you said you got the CD. I got the cassette. My dad took me to the mall, got me the cassette. I put it in. We listened to it on the ride home. By the time we got home, I did not own that cassette anymore.
Why?
Because of Hooked.
Yeah, okay. Hooked. Let's get into Hooked. Because
yeah.
I listened to it this morning. It was recently our friend Eric Hora was home. I think we listened to that song together, which was basically it's a loop of some sort of horn sounding synth.
Bah.
But the story is that he knew a guy named Randy who
was hooked on a girl named Candy.
Well, yeah, okay. But what was the story, basically?
They started out having sex for fun.
Oh, right.
But now the girl has got him on the run.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, when my dad heard having sex for fun, it was all over, man. All over. And there's more salacious stuff, if
yeah.
I can remember, on it. He wasn't very, I don't know.
I can't imagine what a full-grown man listening to the Vanilla Ice album. I mean, I'd assume that your dad probably liked 70s rock
yeah.
or something,
yeah.
and you put
yeah.
on...
The thing is, he didn't throw it away. He hid it in the drop ceiling.
Wow.
But why would you do that if you don't want me to listen to it? Is he going to wait a few years until I'm old enough to listen to this cassette?
So you're having sex for fun?
Or maybe
he was secretly, you think secretly he loved it?
Maybe.
And was maybe listening
maybe
to it.
Maybe he did, yeah, exactly.
As far as Ice Ice Baby goes, I still know every word to this song mm-hmm. somehow. It's imprinted into my brain forever. Even if I don't listen to it for 10 years, I'll still know all the words.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. It's catchy. That's definitely a catchy song that has stood the test of time, even if it's for people to talk shit on it now.
I still catch it every once in a while on the radio, you know? Mm. I don't think they're playing it ironically. I think people still dig it.
Yeah.
Wink.
I feel like, so I've been trying to do a little bit of research, but I'm trying to think of like, you know, you're wondering, would you at 14 have been into this? And I guess the answer to that question would be like, it depends on how much exposure you had to hip hop leading up to this. Because like looking at the hip hop songs that like were mainstream successes prior to this, it was like Beastie Boys, who kind of always had one foot in like punk and rock music anyway, Run DMC when they're doing a song with Aerosmith, and then like some LL Cool J. So I feel like for someone who'd never listened to any other rap, this have being a mainstream hit, it probably similar to like a lot of the other stuff we've talked about this week where it's like, oh, this doesn't sound like anything else I've ever heard. So you kind of get like, for lack of a better term, hooked onto it.
Right. Yeah. I just saw a fact in the notes here, which kind of blows my mind because this is the second time in an episode that we recorded this week. It was Public Enemy who campaigned for Vanilla Ice to get signed to Def Jam.
Uh-huh.
Who Public Enemy also were the champions behind Young Black Teenagers, the all-white rap group. Why was Public Enemy getting all these white rappers signed at this time? I don't really...
They're just looking at the talent, man.
I guess. You know?
Maybe the
talent
flip
only.
Side was the bigger that Young Black Teenagers and Vanilla Ice get, the more hardcore Public Enemy looks.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, sure.
It's a strategic move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like having a less attractive friend going out with them. Yeah.
Well, apparently Public Enemy got Ice signed based on his good looks and dance moves, which is...
He's got some killer bone structure, man. Yep.
Yeah.
That'll get you a record label any day.
I did think it was questionable that we were calling this a one-hit wonder because there was Play That Funky Music as well as Ninja Rap, but Matt gave it the okay because this song is listed on most lists of greatest one-hit wonders. And it is, I guess, the song that the average person still remembers. I still remember Play That Funky Music, but I did have this CD and listen to it a lot. So that could explain that.
Yeah, it's got some good tracks on it, like It's a Party and yeah. Dancing.
Having a Roni. It has on this CD. There's a lot of memorable songs on here. Rastaman.
Yeah.
Rastaman, you be jamming so smooth. You're rocking on the mic and you can only improve. The verses of Ice Ice Baby do stand out as the actual, like, only good rapping on the CD, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me wonder if he actually wrote it.
I heard that he wrote it when he was 16 with his friend doing something sinister, drug dealing or something like that. So he's got his one hit from something he wrote when he was 16. So yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. As far as the song, I mean, this guy came and went fast because mm-hmm. it was like boom and then he was a joke.
Right.
I feel like he was a joke within 6 months. We watched a very unfunny, granted, Jim Carrey parody of Vanilla Ice from In Living Color. It wasn't funny.
No.
It was like Vanilla Ice kicked his shoe off. Like, I could almost talk more shit on the Jim Carrey parody than the actual song. It was like,
I feel like 99% of the time when I watch old In Living Color clips, I'm like, this was supposed to be like dangerous for kids to watch because it seems like it's written specifically for an 8 to 12 year old audience.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, it was 1990, so I guess comedy or whatever wasn't there yet. You know, I'm sure that most stuff was bad, but Jim Carrey, I don't know. People went on to love Jim Carrey for all. Not until Jim Carrey became like a serious actor and he was like in good stuff and he played Andy Kaufman. I'm like, oh, I like Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey, I don't know. Never thought he was funny. I just didn't think Fire Marshal Bill was funny. Didn't think any of that stuff was funny.
Not an Ace Ventura guy?
No.
Oh.
Never.
He's violently no.
No. So. I mean, and
not
I.
Not Dumb and Dumber? Nothing?
No.
Not
no.
Dumb and Dumber?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. I was an Adam Sandler guy.
Well, I am too, but not Dumb and Dumber? Wow. Dumb and Dumber's incredible.
I was always picking sides for some reason.
Chris, you were saying about him falling off real quick. He came on the scene in like 1990, right?
89 was his time. Yo, 90 was his year.
Yo, 90 was his year. Yeah. So 91 was grunge. That was yeah. Nirvana.
Right.
So
right.
He was right at the end of that wave, right on top of that wave.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, that shit was over.
He may have been like the match that needed struck. Like, okay.
Uh-huh.
You got to put an end to this.
Yeah.
He may have been the catalyst.
Yeah. And his hair looked like fire. Yeah, that's a good analogy. I like it. Yeah.
Hair metal may have been like the match, but this may have been the strike of it that put it all to an end. When was Ninja Rap?
So Ninja Rap never charted.
Okay.
It's only remembered because of kids who watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah. Right. But
that was 92.
Oh, okay. He hung on for a little while. I want to talk about the song a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The story, what's happening in the song? Like, we all know the lyrics, but do you ever think about like the story of what's happening in the song?
Well, I was thinking about it lately. Let's do some lyrical analysis.
So I think the first verse is kind of just bragging about how good he is at rapping. It's, all right, stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention, meaning
he invented rap.
Exactly. As we all know, Vanilla Ice invented rap.
When you trace back its origins, yes.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the famous Vanilla Ice interview on Arsenio Hall.
You know what? I don't remember. Remind me.
It was basically Arsenio Hall was kind of calling him out for like, yo, you are
a poser?
Yeah, totally. And he's and Vanilla Ice is kind of sticking up for you. You could check it out on your
okay.
own.
All right,
it's one of those moments. It's very cringeworthy on Vanilla Ice's part. Because basically Arsenio Hall is like, hey, you are taking black culture and basically making a mockery of it and becoming the biggest artist and super rich. Will you acknowledge that? And he's basically like, nah, man. Like, so, yeah, right off the bat, Vanilla Ice invented rap, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was thinking about the most whenever I was rereading the lyrics and listening to this again is, how does a large metal spear flow?
And daily and nightly.
All day and all night.
We have to do a little research into harpoons. And
I'm going to pull up the Rap Genius for this. Oh, okay. I'm sure that there's some breakdowns on this.
Is it the throw of the harpoon that's the flow that he's...
I guess. Or is there another definition of harpoon we don't know about?
Oh, yeah. That's we might be ignorant.
Nothing on Rap Genius for that line.
Oh. Okay. Well, Jerse and I will go through and say what we think, and then we'll consult Matt's Rap Genius.
Yeah, let's do that.
Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. In the video, the music video, he does have a slight blue glow to him, which is some sort of effect that now in Final Cut you could just like put on. But at the time, it probably cost... The music video, by the way, we learned cost $8,000 to make.
$8,000, yeah.
So they probably spent about $2,000 on that.
On that light.
Blue glow, yes. To the extreme, I rock the mic like a vandal. Light up
the
stage and wax a chump like a candle. Which,
what's the vandal line again? Say that again.
I actually just Rap Genius this one, and okay, it makes way more sense now.
Okay.
I rock the mic like a vandal. A vandal is someone who deliberately destroys property. So Vanilla Ice is implying that he is destroying the mic.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then light up the stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Wax a chump. Is he in a rap battle? Is he waxing those chumps?
I believe so. That's what I would assume. He's rap battling.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take that one. Wax. Candles are made of wax.
Yes.
You can't wax a candle. Yeah. Or maybe you can. I mean, anything's possible. You can wax a candle if you want to shine it up real nice. But I guess he's just trying to do the comparison.
I get it. It's a stretch, but I get it.
I'll accept that one. That's fine.
Dance. Go rush to the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deadly when I play a dope melody. Anything less than the best is a felony.
Okay, so he has to write the best lyrics or he's doing 7 to 10.
Right, okay. Right.
Okay.
Love it or leave it, you better gang way. You better hit bullseye, the kid don't play. So I guess it's more of a reference to the rap battle that's still going on. Like, you better hit me with your best shot
because
the kid don't play.
Right.
Right.
But he also used gangway, which is a reference from like the 1930s.
The Rap Genius on that one was, sometimes you may mishear this as you better gain weight, but that doesn't make sense. Gangway is an exclamation you make when you want people to get out of your way to make more room for you.
Yeah, that's what they yell in King Kong 1933 to get out of the way of King Kong.
Hey, you better gangway. You better gangway, see?
Hey, Faye, you better gangway.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
DJ.
I always thought it was DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty confusing.
Yeah.
Terrible name as a DJ.
DJ.
People are going to think you have a speech impediment.
DJ. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get it. Just kind of bragging. Braggadocio first.
Yep.
We're not getting into the real meat and potatoes of the story of this song yet.
Yeah, he's just, you know, warming up there.
Yeah, so Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice Baby.
Dip your head in gravy.
You know the deal. Now that the party is jumping, with the bass kicked in, and the Vegas are pumping?
Vegas. Like a Vegas speaker.
Oh.
That's
a brand of speaker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Vegas are pumping. Okay.
I'm not familiar with the ones and twos, so, you know.
It's a brand of audio amplifiers and subwoofers. Their current slogan is, the undisputable boss of the bass.
Okay.
You should go by the nickname of Vegas because you're also the undisputed boss of bass.
That's true. That is me.
I'm calling you that from now on.
Yeah. Quick to the point, no faking. Cooking MCs like a pound of bacon.
Bacon, yeah.
Okay, we get what that means. He's still just...
This guy doesn't stand a chance that's up there. I don't even think he's getting a chance to rap. Yeah. He's just sizzling in the glow of ice.
The guy's just slinking away. Like, I'm getting roasted so hard here.
I appreciate this little factoid from Rap Genius, which just says, it only takes 10 to 15 minutes to fully cook bacon, so Vanilla Ice is making quick work of these other rappers in such a short amount of time.
Burning them, if you ain't quick and nimble... I go crazy when I hear a cymbal and a hi-hat with a souped-up tempo. I'm on a roll. It's time to go solo.
Why is it time to go solo? I thought he was with D-Shay.
I don't know what this is in reference to. Maybe he's had his whole crew with him, which in the music video, he surrounds himself with a lot of black people for a white rapper.
Mm-hmm. For credibility's sake.
Yes, I'm assuming
it's a stunt.
That's That's what's going on there. We also watched the video. I don't know what their names are. The two YouTube kids who watch videos for the first time ever. Who they've wish I knew the name of their YouTube channel or whatever. But they're very famous for watching videos for the first time ever and really loving the song no matter what. And obviously, they really love this song. But they do refer to Vanilla Ice as them a lot. Like they, as if like, yo, they're letting the white guy go. They're letting him, that Vanilla Ice, that they're letting him rap. Yeah. Love it. Maybe they're noticing that he's saying it's time to go solo.
Yeah, maybe.
Rolling in my 5.0, which I don't know what kind of car a 5.0 is, but
be a Mustang.
Yeah, in the video, it's not that impressive of a car. It looks like a convertible Sebring or something.
My college roommate had one of those drop top old school, you know, like early 90s, late 80s Mustangs. And it's the least impressive Mustang that has ever been manufactured. You are correct.
It reminds me of a Chrysler LeBaron a little
bit. Yeah, it looks like a LeBaron. Yeah.
Matt, rap genius, check in. What's a 5.0?
It is, in fact, a Ford Mustang 5.0. Okay. The car features a 4.9-liter engine, which they simply rounded up to 5.0. It is still in production today.
You nice. Gotta be kidding me.
Well, he got his rag top down so his hair can blow.
Mm-hmm.
The girlie's on standby, waiting just to say hi. Did you stop? No.
No.
I just drove by. He's got other things to do.
Well, I mean, where are they? Where are they on standby? Are they just on the street? I guess I watched the video and he was driving and they were just on the street. Are they on the street just to wait for Vanilla Ice to drive by so they can wave at him?
Yes. Yeah.
But I think those are hookers and he doesn't realize it. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
So
it's a possibility. Did he stop? No, he just drove by.
Yeah.
He kept on pursuing to the next stop, busted a left and headed to the next block. The block was dead. Yo. So he continued to A1A
Beachfront Avenue.
Which that's the hot spot. That's A1A Beachfront Avenue. We're talking, that's where all the ladies are, the men.
All the ladies and men are at A1A Beachfront Avenue.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to live there and it's my life goal. I don't know exactly where it is, but when I heard that when I was 9, I was like, we got to go there.
Rap Genius has got you covered for it.
Right.
It's State Road A1A, simply known as the A1A. Is a road in Florida that runs along the Atlantic Ocean. It is representative of the Florida beach culture, and in Miami, the A1A runs through South Beach into an area known for its great nightlife scene.
Oh, all right.
Exactly.
So he's
what
going out to party.
Yes.
All right.
Girls were hot wearing less than bikinis. I will note in the music video when he says this line,
they're fully dressed.
There's a fully dressed woman licking an ice cream cone. You know, unless maybe
overly dressed, probably.
Yeah, maybe these women, maybe the women at the time, since he referenced the 1930s earlier, maybe the women were wearing those full body suit bikinis. I don't know why this fully dressed woman.
Yeah, the stripy ones, and then you wear the little swim cap on top.
I mean,
if
we're breaking down production here, right? $8,000. Probably $1,000 for a camera, $2,000 for the... By the time they're getting to the girls, I think it's about $10 to get someone into less than a bikini, and they're like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
We can't afford bikinis.
Yes.
What's your grandma got in her closet?
Rock man lovers driving Lamborghinis.
What's
a rock man lover?
Rockman lovers.
I guess, you know, it's funny. I know all the words to this song. I don't think I've ever, like... I've probably never said that line right. I never knew it was rock man lovers.
What does that mean?
Is it like rock man? Is he referring to like, okay, we're talking about 1990. Are there like rockers? Like, you know, like heavy metal, hair metal rockers?
I watched his movie.
Yeah.
The Cool as Ice movie. And in it, he goes into something and he has this rock, quote unquote, rock band playing like a Sly and the Family Stone song. The worst way you could possibly ever play it. Mm-hmm. So it's like he like hates rock and roll. So maybe he's making fun of people that like rock and roll and not hip hop. I don't know.
Maybe
he doesn't seem to like rock that much back in this time.
That's a little precursor to what we'll get to eventually.
Oh, okay.
Because eventually he does.
Okay.
As we all know.
Oh yes.
So I found an article that is 11 questions about Ice Ice Baby.
Okay.
And there is one that is, what are rock man lovers? says, I don't know. I've searched and searched and searched, and I cannot find an answer. But apparently they have enough money to drive a Lamborghini. We know this much. They're jealous of Vanilla Ice. We also know this. But I can't find my Uber niche early 90s rap white rapper slang to English dictionary that I was working on. So I can never answer this one. Also, an earlier one was, how does a harpoon flow? And the answer was, you mean besides daily and nightly? It's just a gibberish lyric that means nothing.
All right. So let's chalk Rockman up to it. Ice was extremely high.
How amazing would it be if he's referencing like a Rockman, like a man made of rock.
Like driving, a Pokemon?
Yeah. Like a Geodude. Dude from Pokemon driving
like Fantastic Four, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. So we're going to go with that. Rockman lover, so we're going to assume that this Rockman also has a boner.
Yeah.
Jealous because I'm out getting mine. Shay with a gauge and Vanilla with a nine.
Yeah.
Wow. D-Shay meaning his... D-Shay,
yeah. His DJ...
With
D-Shay.
With a shot a gauge, meaning a shotgun?
I'm guessing a 12 gauge, and okay. It could be a 20 gauge, depending on his preference. But yeah, it's a shotgun, and then Vanilla's got a 9mm.
Out of nowhere, the guns. Like, yeah. Out of nowhere. There is no build-up to this. All we know is he's good at rap battling.
Mm-hmm.
He just cruising down the road. The
ladies are waving.
Ladies are waving.
He ain't got time.
Having a beautiful Florida day. And all of a sudden, we got to bring guns into the mix.
Maybe they were going to the gun store.
Yeah.
And then they picked them up. So they're just glazing over that whole experience and just going right back into the 5.0 with their new guns.
Right. Okay. So he's rolling in what I always pictured as a Chrysler LeBaron. Couple of guns. Ready for the chumps on the wall.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
So
the chumps acting ill because they're full of 8-ball. So
yeah.
These guys...
Cooked up chumps.
Yeah, we're ready to go murder some dudes on coke tonight is what's going on in this.
Right. I mean, what else are you supposed to do with people on cocaine?
Yeah. I imagine these guys just having a blast. It's 1990, still like borderline 80s.
Yeah.
Coke is fine.
Uh-huh.
We're at South Beach, like probably the coke capital of the world. These mm-hmm. guys are just having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Vanilla Ice rolling in with guns.
Yep. And just... messing everything up for everybody. Yeah. But I mean, they're all melting like chumps, like chump candles.
Ooh,
yes.
We need to get to the end of this verse because I have an interpretation of what this is actually about.
Let's do
and
it.
I wow. am really upset.
Well,
let's
okay.
kick it.
So gunshots rang out like a bell. I grabbed my nine. All I heard were was shells. Fallen on the concrete real fast, jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. So at some point, he actually got out of the car with the guns. And
causing trouble again, and
loose
story. And he's getting shot at.
This is pretty intense.
It's starting to get a little scary.
So he jumped on a car and slammed on the gas, but it sucks because there's like a traffic jam. So bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jackers jack.
Well, how are you getting away if you're just sitting in traffic bumper to bumper?
Dude, Vanilla Ice rolls into Miami.
Start shooting coke addicts.
It is bumper-to-bumper traffic, jumps out of the car, starts shooting at coke heads. They're shooting back, dives on the ground, jumps in the car, slams on the gas, but oh shit, it's a traffic jam.
Well, first of all, everybody on A1A Beachfront Avenue is probably on cocaine at this time because that's what everybody's doing. It's the nightclub
Dude,
scene.
This is so dangerous.
So he's just shooting at everyone
but here's,
for
so
no good reason.
It's the next line that makes me think this, right? Police on the scene, you know what I mean? They pass me up confronting all those dope fiends. Is Vanilla Ice like a vigilante that the cops are totally fine with just blowing away coke addicts?
Did we just find out that Vanilla Ice is actually Batman?
Yeah, he's like an informant for the...
Vanilla Ice is a bootlicker. Vanilla Ice is just fucking... Vanilla Ice is like one of these guys that goes to riots and with an AK and shooting protesters.
Yeah, he's literally just like, I did your job for you, coppers. And they're like, thanks, Ice.
Thanks. All right, Ice.
Whenever there's a problem, we know you can solve it.
He starts that line off with police on the scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is very familiar to him.
There's no room for interpretation in the first line that you said.
Yeah.
The police are there. Yes, I know what you mean. There's no other way of going around it.
Police on the scene, you know what I mean. They passed me up, confronted all the dope fiends. So, Vanilla Ice, it's fine you came in here with a shotgun and a nine and started firing at all the people partying. It's fine because these guys are on drugs.
Yeah.
So, fuck them.
Yeah.
It's basically what the story
They're
is.
They're on
here.
Drugs. You're cool.
Yeah. You're fine. Yeah. You're Vanilla Ice.
Get out of here. Yeah. We'll take care of this.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves.
And
it.
All he did was cause problems the whole time. Are you kidding me?
Never thought about this before. This is totally fucked up.
And then he just cops out right at the end there and says, yeah. I'll solve the problems. When he just fucked everything up.
He caused all the problems.
A1A is a goddamn fire of a train wreck. And he's saying that he solved the problem.
These guys on coke, they may have just done a bunch of coke. Got real sweaty, partied, maybe went on a boat.
Yeah.
You know?
Did some marlin fishing. What?
Yeah. I mean, what? Why is Vanilla Ice so pissed about this is what we have to figure out. I don't know why. But
there's lots more, though, right? Maybe yeah. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a radio edit version of this, and then there's a longer version of this and all that. So, yeah.
So this is the story. Does Rap Genius have anything more to say? Did we figure out what's going on here?
Nah, there's really nothing for the third verse. It's just more battle rap bullshit.
Yeah, I think it's more like bragging. Now we're back to bragging in the third verse. It's take heed because I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound, enough to shake and kick holes in the ground. Because my style's like a chemical spill. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
First true thing he said.
Yeah. Is that a brag that my style's like a chemical spill? Is that a good thing?
It makes you have to flush your eyes out for 15 minutes with water.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
Yeah. Feasible rhymes that you can vision and feel? Is that the line or is that...
That's what it says in Rap Genius 2, which you think it'd be like visualize and feel.
Wow.
Feasible rhymes, meaning...
They're passable.
They're feasible. Yeah.
I can understand it.
They're rhymes that you can vision.
Can you come up with something more feasible, Ice? I think he just heard that word from like somebody else.
Yeah.
And just thought that it sounded cool.
Feasible. Yeah. That's a word, right, everybody? Like, yeah, but Ice.
Like it means legit, but it doesn't.
Yeah. I am gonna describe bad rhymes now. It's like, oh, rhyme was feasible. Like, yeah.
Feasible rhymes that you can vision and feel.
Just barely acceptable.
Conducted and formed, that's a hell of a concept. Informed these rhymes, man. That's a real concept.
How about him?
We make it hype. And you want to step. With this, Shea plaids on the fade. Slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade. So fast, other DJs say,
damn.
So he's doing the like,
oh, turntable DJ stuff. Is so fast. The so other fast. Okay, the other DJs are just like, whoa. So
I can't speak to DJ's skill.
I can't either.
I really can't. I've never watched him. I can't talk shit. Maybe he's good. I don't know how fast he is at scratching the records. I honestly don't know.
Is he even a DJ? Do we know this? Maybe he was just his friend.
So there was a falling out between him and Vanilla Ice.
Damn. Okay.
Because I guess another DJ, Earthquake, DJ and Earthquake got into a fight. And Vanilla sided with Earthquake.
Jeez.
So then DJ was just like, deuces.
I mean, he talks about DJ so much in this song.
I know.
Like, wow. I mean, this song is borderline like 20% about DJ and how awesome he is.
Well, if he was friends with Earthquake, it'd be 40% Earthquake.
Yeah, I guess. Know? Yeah.
And you don't, you get, hey, you got to go with the guy named Earthquake in the argument, man. Yeah. You're going to get messed up. So I don't blame him.
Dude, this next line we're about to get into is so fucked up.
Okay.
If my rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Are you fucking kidding me? After all we just went through with you about how much you hate people on drugs.
Uh-huh.
If you're saying you would sell your rhymes by the gram like a drug.
He didn't say how much he was selling them for.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Nickel?
Yeah. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my juice.
Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing. We got nothing.
That's gross.
On that.
It's gross. Let's skip it.
Kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while D-Shay revolves it.
Okay.
Now, we're shouting out D-Shay again. He's no Earthquake.
The other thing that I found, which is going back to the Arsenio Hall piece, is the word to your mother at the end.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that. Very important.
This is the breakdown from Rap Genius. Mother is short for motherland, which refers to Africa, largely considered to be the mother of continent and cradle of humanity. Word to comes from my word is bond, which is a way of saying that one keeps their promises from person to person. This term came from the 5% nation. Since Vanilla Ice would never refer to Africa as his motherland, he changed it from word to the mother to word to your mother, meaning literally to keep a strong bond with your mom, which works for anybody of every race.
Keep a strong bond with your mom. That's the final statement. That's what he's going with at the end of all of that. Be nice to your mom.
That actually kind of rescues the whole song.
Which, like, it's funny to read it in that, because I always just read it as like a way of just being like saying to one of your friends, like, hey, tell your mom I said hi.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, he just redeemed himself right there. It was just a whole bunch of mayhem, and then, hey, happy Mother's Day right at the end of it.
I will say, we're talking about 1990, and you think about the biggest stars in the world. I'll tell you one person who was a big fan of Vanilla Ice at this time, Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Madonna was getting a little bit, Madonna was getting a little of that juice kicked to her.
Oh,
at this
yeah.
time.
She was getting.
For about 8 months, she was with Vanilla Ice, which, okay, I'm asking, would I like Vanilla Ice as a 14-year-old? Think about Madonna. At this point, she's like a groundbreaking pop artist, pushing the boundaries, many hits.
Yeah.
You're talking about like one of the biggest selling artist ever, I guess.
That, like, the number one, like, most controversial sex symbol at the time.
And like, really at the height of her fame. So maybe I would have liked Vanilla Ice also at an older age, because apparently even Madonna did for a little while.
Do you know how they met and stuff?
No.
Okay, well, he was like playing a show, and then D-Shay or whoever, or maybe it was Earthquake, was like, yo, man, I think Madonna's out there. And he's like, what? And he's like, there's like an entourage out there. He's like, and in the middle of it, I think that's Madonna. And he's like, trying to look, and he's like, oh, I'll be damned, that is Madonna. And then he said after the show, he just went to his dressing room, and then Madonna just came in. And she was like, let's go get a drink. And he was like, what? And he's like, okay, Madonna, let's go get a drink. And then they dated for a year.
Dude, I mean, think about this. The rise of Ice Ice Baby, I guess, I'm going just off memory, but I believe that like a radio DJ somewhere played that funky music.
And it wasn't doing anything. And then he was like, well, fuck this single. Let's flip it around and play this B-side. And it just caught fire.
Right. So at the time of the Ice Ice Baby music video making, they only had an $8,000 budget to make that music
video. Quick. They were like, yo, we got to capitalize on this ASAP.
So it went from making an $8,000 music video to now Vanilla Ice is dating Madonna in such a whirlwind. That would have been like right now we're recording this in May. That would have been like back at Halloween. We recorded a song and now I'm dating Taylor Swift or something like that. That amount of time, that whirlwind.
And you didn't even pursue her.
Right.
She just came right at you and grabbed you.
Taylor Swift out in the audience to my white guy rap. I made a white guy rap song. You know, like, that's crazy how fast that.
And by the way, that I guarantee that was the most annoying couple of all time. Vanilla Ice and Madonna.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're just like, hey, Vanilla and Madonna are here. Be like, oh, eyes rolling.
He got with her just in time to be in her sex book too. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never got that because I was nine, but.
Did you get the Vanilla Ice doll that they also mass produced?
Oh, I did not. I wanted that really bad, but you know, I had to, Ice was out for me. I had to do it bootleg and, you know, in secret. So I would have liked to got that.
Well, I got a quote from Vanilla Ice about their short-lived romance.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "She was older than me and a great lover." That was all there was to it.
Wow.
I have a couple of Vanilla Ice's later year records that I kind of bought as like a morbid curiosity because he got very involved with like Juggalo Records.
Right, right.
And was like part of the Psychotic family. But
why not?
A Juggalo, yeah.
But he has a song with ICP called Born on Halloween that samples This Is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas. When I just went on his Wikipedia page, he actually was born on Halloween. He was born on October 31st.
Oh,
I thought it was just like, oh, we're going to write a hardcore song about how I was born on Halloween.
Nice. That's pretty cool. In 1993, Vanilla Ice took a break to focus on motocross and jet skiing.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea of being a huge artist and taking a break to focus on my jet skiing. That's the funniest career diversion. Like Michael Jordan took a break from basketball to play baseball. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty crazy. But to take a break from music to focus on your jet skiing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. It actually makes me like him a lot more.
I heard he was not too bad at it though.
Yeah.
He got a Kawasaki sponsorship out of the whole thing. So
nice.
It was pretty good. Hey, maybe he should have stuck with that a little bit longer. Who knows?
I mean, we went and gotten his second album, Mind Blowing.
Right.
Which was when he got really involved with Rastafarianism, and the whole album, he's rapping in a Rastafarian accent, which is...
Oh man,
really
that is
rough.
The worst. It's the worst move he could have made.
I mean, he was dabbling in that onto the extreme. You know, you had Rasta Man, having a Roni. You had these songs, but it was like Vanilla Ice was like, how can I really push the envelope and be super offensive to black people? Like, I really got to push the envelope harder and harder and really appropriate as hard as possible now.
Do they have any culture left that I can steal from?
Yeah,
didn't I take?
What more can I do?
He was really going to teach that Arsenio lesson.
Yeah. We ought to talk about the very famous Suge Knight incident. I don't know when that took place. I watched an interview from 1996 about it.
It was at the peak of the song.
Okay.
So probably 91.
Yeah.
So the story is that Vanilla Ice, this is Vanilla Ice's side of it. The Vanilla Ice, a couple times he was out with his entourage, like at a restaurant or something. And then Suge Knight's entourage, which was much bigger, not only in amount of people, but also in size of the people, would come and be like, make like the guy sit next to Vanilla Ice, like, yo, get out of that seat. Sit down next to Vanilla Ice and be like, what's up? What's up, Vanilla Ice? And Vanilla Ice would be like,
what's up, gigantic, scary man?
He'd be like, nothing. And then like those people would just hang out and then just leave. This happened a couple times, different restaurants. He's like, yo, these people kept just showing up, like, and just like saying what's up. And then Vanilla Ice was on the 15th floor. I guess, I don't know if it was a hotel or an apartment or what it was.
I think it was a hotel.
Okay.
Because he was in LA.
Okay.
So yeah, he was doing shows or something in LA.
With his entourage.
Mm-hmm.
And Suge Knight and his entourage bust in one way or another. I don't know if they knocked or just came in. And his entourage, Vanilla Ice's entourage, starts getting roughed up. That's how he said. And Suge Knight and Vanilla walk out on the balcony. And what Vanilla Ice says is that Suge made him look over the side of the balcony. Now, in all of our heads, this story has always been that Suge Knight's holding him by the ankles over the side, where I think that it might be more along the lines of Suge Knight has maybe his arm on Vanilla's shoulder.
Yes.
Kind of maybe leaning on him.
But here's the thing. Suge is doing this like under the radar. Like, he's just showing up, mm-hmm. and he's just like, that's what's up,
I feel like,
dude?
That's almost scarier. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, almost scarier, like, how calm he is, because it's just like,
it's more psychotic.
This means nothing to you, to me. I could kill you and feel perfectly fine the next morning about this.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was probably scarier for him to be like, yo, look down there.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice down there? You're just like, that's holy shit.
Yeah, and Vanilla says, I'll tell you what. It's something along these lines. He goes, I need to be wearing a diaper that day. I give him credit for not being one bit like, I'll kick his fucking ass. I'm a lyrical poet. Uh-huh. I pull out my 9 and my gauge. Like I do it all the cokeheads along A1A. No, he was like, yeah, I'm basically. Yeah, he said he was going to go to the bathroom in his pants. Yeah. He straight up says it. And then this was like an ABC News special. This is from 1996. And they're also interviewing Suge Knight, who at the time is in jail. And Suge Knight's just kind of laughing, going like, that didn't happen. But Vanilla Ice is like, he wanted me to sign this contract that says that this, I think it was like Malik something.
Yeah, some rapper that he was like representing or something,
right,
like that.
That he wrote at least part of Ice Ice Baby, and signing that contract basically gave him $3 to $4 million worth of publishing from the song. Mm-hmm. Vanilla Ice was like, I signed it. He did not write that song, but I signed it. And which I said to Matt, this is weird because, like, does a signature hold up in court even if you're like, yo, I signed it because I thought the dude was going to kill me. like I just scribbled my name because I thought to save my life. Does that count as, like, do I still have to pay that? Does that hold up in court?
I don't know. If there's any attorneys that are listening out there, they might want to chime in. Let us know about that.
So I just decided to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole because supposedly the money from this went to fund Death Row Records.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the money of Ice Ice Baby paid for Death Row Records. How many albums do you think Death Row Records successfully released in their time as a record label?
Oh, my.
I know that it's not as many as you think.
Maybe it's just the grandiosity of them.
The ones that they did were huge.
Yeah.
But then I knew it fell off real fast at the end, and, like, it was gone by, like, early 2000s or something, right? What's the answer to this?
6 albums and 4 soundtracks.
And that's it.
That's it?
That's all they did. They started with The Chronic, then Doggy Style, then the Dog Pounds Dog Food album, All Eyes on Me by Tupac, the 7-Day Theory by Tupac, the Dogfather by Snoop Dogg. And then that was it for them releasing albums, except for the soundtracks they did: Above the Rim, Murder Was the Case, Gridlocked, and Gang Related.
Well, so it's crazy because, like, yeah, Suge Knight definitely in this story seems like the bad guy. But had Suge Knight supposedly not shook down one of the worst rappers of all time, maybe we wouldn't have had some of the greatest rap albums ever.
I would beg to differ. It's not like Dr. Dre was some young unknown that Suge Knight discovered. I'm pretty sure The Chronic would have happened, and it seems like all of the other Death Row stuff came from Dr. Dre directly. So we just would have got Aftermath quicker.
So Suge Knight wouldn't have got rich and whatever.
Probably.
Because of those.
Because I think Dre left after The Chronic because he was like, yo, this is bullshit. Yeah. Like, you're taking all of my money.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. Vanilla did invent rap. We've forgotten about that fact.
We're so lucky that Vanilla invented rap so we could have Biggie and Tupac and just all the great rap. Kendrick Lamar, everything that we have now
stems from Vanilla Ice.
Thank you, Vanilla Ice, for inventing rap.
Oh, man. Well, and then funding the best rap of all time.
Yeah. So fast forward to Limp Bizkit and the late 90s.
Fast forward through them.
Yeah, fast forward. I mean, dude, it's crazy. The amount of time between Ice Ice Baby and Limp Bizkit, it's not that, what I'm saying
it's
is 8
year difference. It's like a six year difference.
Like, it's not that long of a time.
No.
And Vanilla Ice was like, okay, it's time for me to bring back my song that people loved, but just in the format of what's popular because it somewhat involves rap.
Let's blend it up and pour it right in this mold right here. The Limp Bizkit served right up to him.
Yes.
Yep. It's a good marketing move.
Yeah.
Make some money off of it.
I don't know how well the Limp Bizkit version, I mean, it was 100% just a Limp Bizkit. Like,
well, Too Cold?
Yeah.
He changed the title to Too Cold, if I'm
right,
not mistaken. Yeah. Right.
And it was basically, Ice, Ice, Baby! Baby!
Too cold, too cold. But you've been talking that shit, so I'm basically, he's Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Right.
And like, he even, like, there's, I listened to it recently and I was just like, I think this part is a Korn song, but I can't be sure.
Well, I remember for a long time as a kid, the word on the street at the schoolyard was, oh yeah, he did a whole album with Korn. Korn has nothing to do with this.
No.
It's Scott Borland on keys and the guitarist from Snot on guitar, and then just some studio musicians doing bass and drums.
Right, and you know what I found out about this from another podcast is that it was actually Mark McGrath who said this, who was playing bass for this Vanilla Ice thing at the time, was Scott Schreiner, who then, because Scott Schreiner was like a dude from LA, played in a lot of bands, and was trying to, you know, make it in music.
Why do I know this name?
Because he's in Weezer.
Weezer, that's it.
He's the bassist of Weezer.
Yeah.
He was playing. So when I actually went and saw this Vanilla Ice thing, because it was like a sideshow, you know, like, whoa, Vanilla Ice is playing at Club Laga in Pittsburgh. I was a freshman in college, went and saw it. And so, I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but I saw the now bassist of Weezer playing
Too Cold.
This. Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
What was it called again? The album?
Hard to Swallow.
Hard to Swallow. That's what I wanted to know.
Which it was.
That's perfect.
To be fair, his album titles all sound like someone who thought that they had an idea for a cool song, like an album title, because you got Hooked, To the Extreme, Mind Blowing, Hard to Swallow, Bipolar, Platinum Underground, and WTF, Wisdom, Tenacity, and Focus.
Dude, I got to tell you this.
That just made me nauseous.
Matt, maybe you could look this up while I'm talking about this, but he released an album, I believe in like the mid-2000s, maybe 2008, where he covered... It's an all cover album. Vanilla Ice does the classics, meaning he covered a bunch of rap songs very terribly.
Like, such as?
Oh, Vanilla Ice is back. He did Jump Around in 2011. So it has Ice Ice Baby, You Dropped a Bomb on Me by the Gap Band, Fight the Power by Public Enemy, Jump Around by House of Pain, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, I Gots to Chill by EPMD, I Got It Made by Special Ed, Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley, Insane in the Brain by Cypress Hill, and Treat 'Em Right by Cherub Rob.
Oh, yeah.
And then three different remixes of Ice Ice Baby.
The world did not need Vanilla Ice to cover.
No.
And I love these songs. Again. Ice Ice Baby, the Rock Hero mix. Ice Ice Baby, the Club Crasher mix. And Ice Ice Baby, the new romantic mix.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God, I got to get that.
How awesome would it be if you brought a lady home on a date and you turned down the lights, maybe lit a few candles, and put on the Ice Ice Baby romantic mix?
Do you like Ice Baby?
I also like that it's the new romantic mix, implying that there was a prior romantic mix.
I mean, there's so many Vanilla Ice songs that would be amazing to put on in that situation. I love you.
Because I love you.
So, you know, Vanilla Ice, I feel like he's stuck around in so many different times. He has like tried to be like, now I'm cool. Cool now. Look at me. Now I think he had like a house renovation show, maybe?
So I mean, I think that's kind of that's like the thing where we were talking about this earlier, where I was like, he's one of those dudes that I both sometimes root for and then sometimes just shake my head and be like, why are you this way, Vanilla Ice? Because, like, you know, he got over his drug addiction. He, like, got over his, like, depression. And then he, like, made a good living renovating houses. Like, the reason why there was a reality show is that, like, he's got a shit ton of money just from doing, like, house flipping. Like, he's very good at it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's cool. But then it'll like do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
I have a theory about that.
What's that?
Because, I mean, he's got an interesting and compelling story for some parts of his life, like, you know, the attempt and everything. But if other people are telling his story, you start getting sympathetic and you're like, oh, okay. Well, but then he opens his mouth and you're just like, oh, fuck this dude.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much. But, you know, I feel like I've seen stuff of him recently. Like Matt and I, before you got here, Juris, we watched. It was like a video with like a million views saying like Eminem freestyle, like on a rap radio morning show, like he kills it with this rap. And then we watched it. We're like, oh no, that was terrible.
It was really bad.
It was bad. But like, it kind of seems like he's in on the joke now.
He definitely knows how to play a role, right? Because I remember like there was the MTV was like the most awful videos of all time countdown. And Ice Ice Baby was on there, and they handed him the master copy, and he like beat it with a bat. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Look at Vanilla Ice. He doesn't give a fuck. And then like he was on like the Surreal Life reality show where they had like the framed pictures of like all of them when they were younger. And he like walked through and just smashed every picture of himself and said, oh, it brings up too many bad memories of like who I used to be. But then it's like, but then you keep going back to being who you used to be.
Right. Right. Yeah. He just keeps. Yeah. Every time you think. It like pulls him back to who he really is.
I told you that tweet that he posted though that I love. So he played Donald Trump's New Year's Eve party in December.
Okay.
During a pandemic.
This past year?
Yes.
Yeah, this past year.
At Mar-a-Lago. Dude.
So I looked up what is Vanilla Ice's politics. I kind of knew, right?
We all know.
And it said Vanilla Ice doesn't like to talk about his politics. And they had a recent tweet and it said, frankly, I prefer a Ninja Turtles pizza party over either the Democratic or Republican party.
I mean, that's funny. I can't help but say fuck you to anybody that during a pandemic plays a show, especially at Trump's party. But I kind of feel like with Vanilla Ice, every step of the way, it's like, oh, who will accept me ironically?
Hence why he jumped into the Juggalos.
Juggalos. Oh, you think it's funny that I'm going to. Oh, I'm down with the Juggalos then.
I'll get a Hatchet Man tattoo. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, Trump supporters, like, oh, nobody will play your thing. So, you know, except the guy who sings Proud to Be an American and Three Doors Down. Like, those are the. And Ted Nugent, those are literally the only people that'll play your thing. And, like, Trump will do some dumb dance to my song or something. Like, okay, I'll do that. Whatever. He just. Wherever will accept him. Ironically, for a while,
he's a walking reality show, a walking dancing. I mean, with the stars his whole life,
and that's where it's like it's hard to cheer for him is because it's like this is all an act. It's all an act.
Yeah,
I don't think he's in on it.
He's like a bad Forrest Gump. He just walks through life like, and then I invented rap. And then I was jet ski champion of the world. And then he was playing hardcore music. And then he was fixing houses. And then he had a TV show. And then he was hanging out with Donald Trump. And then, you know, like every step of the way, like he's very much... The Forrest Gump.
Yes. That's a very, very good way of putting it. Yeah.
Couple more things before we close up. What was going on at the time on the charts? We know this was just pre-Nirvana.
Yeah. You know, so this was the number one song at the time.
Right around the corner.
And then also on the charts at this time was right behind it, Black Cat by Janet Jackson.
Good jam.
Mm-hmm.
Pray by MC Hammer at number 6.
You got to pray. Pray. Pray.
You got to pray just to make it today. I didn't even remember that being a single, and it was number 6. I know I loved it.
It charted higher than You Can't Touch This.
What?
Wow. Yeah, You Can't Touch This only got to number 12 on the Billboard charts. And then also on the charts, as we're just reading off a list of careers that Nirvana ended, at number 10, Cherry Pie by Warrant.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's a whole nother...
Yeah,
podcast in and of itself. That whole story is nuts.
Dude, the lead singer of that band is so funny because he hates that song much. Little did I know that for the rest of my life I'd be judging cherry pie eating contests
and be the cherry pie guy. He's like, I fucking hate that song. He's like, I wrote it for the record label, and now I'm the cherry pie guy. Fuck that song.
Cherry pie guy. Are we going? Is Vanilla Ice, did he bring the one hit thunder, or is he a one hit blunder? This is really difficult.
I mean, in what aspect though? I mean, that came on like an atomic bomb,
like a poisonous mushroom,
and dissipated just as quickly.
I mean, I know that he invented hip hop,
yes,
but I think I'm gonna have to go with a blunder on this one.
It's
a lot of, there's a lot more strikeouts in the Vanilla Ice story than successes.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a tough call, but it's like when Matt says that, I don't have the feeling of disagreement going through me. You know what I mean? But at the same time, that song, man, I loved that song. This song right here, I loved it.
I would go as far as to say that it changed my life.
Yes. Yes.
That, like, it was the first CD I ever had. I listened to it so much and I danced to it. I know every word to it.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it strengthened my love of music. It was the first time it was like, I want this. Like, I had some like cassettes and stuff. Kind of like either someone gave it to me or it was my parents that I, but this was the first thing where I was like, I want that.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that like watching this guy do his goofy dance moves and wear Miami Hurricane shirts was like, made me go like, I want to play music. Yeah. I want to make music and eventually found a lot cooler music. But
another Vanilla Ice jump off right there with so many of them. Your entire music career is because of Vanilla Ice.
It might be like, you know, I could maybe track it back to Boys to Men and stuff, too. And to a certain extent, Ween changed the game for me, too, because I was so young. But like this was way young. This was elementary school. And
it's the ravenous hunger for that song that you were just talking about that I had too. I don't know. I can't tell you exactly why though. Like we didn't know each other back then. We have a ravenous hunger to have this song on CD or whatever. Like what was the draw?
You know, the singing along and rhyming and everything is a big part of it, but we haven't even talked about this and it's very important to mention. That maybe Queen was part of this.
Oh,
yeah. Well, no, it wasn't Queen. He had a little at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not. The Queen song is dun 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 dun. But my song is dun 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 dun. It's that little dun. It's not exactly the same.
Ice, you just emphasized one of the duns. Yeah, yeah. That's all you did.
Yes. But subconsciously, it was the music was, for my money, one of the greatest bands of all time. So you had that basis. Two.
I mean, it works for and against it, right? Because it's like, what makes this song work is that it's got this driving beat that Vanilla Ice has nothing to do with.
Right.
And yeah, you knew all the words, but you're also reading them for the first time being like, what the fuck was I rapping?
Yeah.
Acting like a rock man lover.
I'm going to give it a thunder pass. I have to. It was too important of a...
Personally, yeah.
It was too important of a song to me
mm-hmm.
to deny. So I can't, I mean, I think the guy's a moron and I can't stand him, but I can't deny the song, man. I can't deny it.
I'm still out on Ice. I'll call it Thunder for the personal reasons that it rocked my world back then. But
the rest of his entire career is a mess of
variety.
It's the funniest blunder. Hey, in the Forrest Gump story, we forgot to mention like, oh, he dates Madonna.
Yeah.
Like it is the most Forrest Gump story ever. Like it, more than Forrest Gump story, but
I'm going Thunder. Yeah.
I'll go Thunder.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Vega by Another Cheetah. If you have any interest in podcasting, visit weknowpodcasting.com for how Chris and I can make your show sound as professional as possible. Let us know your thoughts on the show by emailing us at onehitthunderpodcast@gmail.com, and make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Tune in next week for another episode of One Hit Thunder. You'd be much better off with someone else. Vega, can I take you out? I'll put on my favorite sweater. It's the black one that I bought at Ross.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe Grind Podcast.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freites from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.